You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whittaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whittaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whittaker.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhittaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Hey, photographer, Jessica Whittaker here. Welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. In this episode, I am joined by photographer Summer Grace. Summer is based out of the Pacific Northwest, just like myself, and she travels all over the world, specializing in storytelling and editorial styles of photography on both digital and film. And as well as the art of photography, she's always had a big love for entrepreneurship and helping others grow their business. I found Summer years ago, I want to say 2018, 2019, and she actually found me on YouTube, and she moved up to Seattle, and that's how we got connected on Instagram, and I'm really happy to have her on the show because she is so incredibly talented, and with her photo shoots, her and her clients go out to really gorgeous, more remote locations, and she spends half a day with them. She really is all about the client experience and being able to take the client's love story and paint such a beautiful picture using film and digital photography. So I have broken this episode into two parts: the planning and preparation for these elaborate photo shoots, and then her artistic vision and where she finds inspiration. For example, one of the questions that I have just wondered from so many photographers who go more off the beaten path for their photo shoots is the logistical of when you go to a location that doesn't have cell service, what's the process like for meeting up with the client? I'm also asking her about her planning calls and the questionnaire. We share a love for antiquing, and so we talk about how that bleeds into her artistic vision. She's so talented, so incredible, and this is going to be such a good episode. So Summer's information will be linked in the show notes, the description of this episode down below. There's so much to get into, so let's start the show. Summer, I am so excited to have you on the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast.
Hi, you guys. My name's Summer, or Summer Grace. I live outside of Seattle, might be moving soon, but been there for a couple years now. I'm originally from Georgia, and I do wedding photography, and I do a little bit of education on the side. I'm probably going to be moving more towards that. About to get married, depending on when you're listening to this, and I have an awesome dog named Indigo.
And you are so, so talented. And so I know that you do a lot of like storytelling-esque sessions. And so can you kind of give the listeners a brief description of what that encompasses, and then we can go more into detail?
Yeah. So the only sessions I currently offer for my clients being couples is like a minimum of like 2 to 3 hour sessions, which it's pretty wild. I feel like a lot of people are like, wow, that is a long time to spend with people. I love it because it gives me enough time to truly be with them. And I feel like after that amount of time, it's just so, so relaxed. I feel like it's truly telling their story more because I'm with them long enough to genuinely just be capturing who they are. Some sessions might literally be like 6 hours long, maybe longer. Some may be shorter. It just kind of depends. We normally have multiple locations, and normally a break, we'll like get food together or get a drink, and then we'll go back into it. For me, I'm a more like, I'd say I'm a more like analytical person. and shooter. Like, I loved numbers growing up. And so I feel like even when that comes into my art, I like plans. And I feel like this storytelling word is like the new trend word. And I've taught at workshops and I've heard a ton of people teach on storytelling. And so I think what's interesting is like my approach to it is a little different. I think some people are like, it needs to feel romantic or feel this one any sort of way and gotta like romanticize everything. And I am not the most romantic person. So how that looks like for my sessions is a little more structured. And I actually started doing it this way when I did a shoot with creative directors, actually a fashion set, an editorial. And they had this crazy script and I was reading it and I was like, this is the most beautiful thing. Editorials never go this hard anymore. Like, the fact that you wrote this script that like has so much purpose and meaning, and we're telling an actual story, which doesn't happen with fashion most of the day, like most of the time anymore, with subjects who don't even know each other. You know what I mean? It was like these people can tell a story, like I can too, even with couples. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was interesting, actually, like a Seattle fashion shoot, I feel like, was what inspired me to do this. But I was like, man, how could I be more than just a photographer? How could I be a creative director? You know what I mean? Just like take it that one step further. And so thinking of it like on a fashion set or an editorial, you're working with stylists, you might have a script writer, you're working with actual directors who are watching like every photo happen. And like when you're shooting it, you're just a photographer. But seeing all of that happen to make this story, I thought was so cool. So I kind of like implemented that into my couple of sessions. So having kind of a plan and like what feels like it would represent them, having a beginning and an end, maybe starting inside and ending outside, like having it have this structure where we know what we're going for and we know what emotion we want to convey. And so we're going to get that more through like posing and lighting than just like these people running around being really cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I love all the organization that goes into it. So, everything is planned out so that you can execute it to the best possible of your ability. I love that. So when it comes to your planning with your clients, do you kind of have a questionnaire before or after the client is booking with you that then you can dissect from there and create this beautiful experience for them?
So I don't actually fully have like a legit questionnaire that I like send to them. I've been thinking about like releasing one for people, but I don't do that right now, actually. I mostly take calls and ask them the questions just on the phone. I normally take like at least an hour long call with most people. Just like Zoom calls. I normally take a call and we just get to know each other and I hear about them. A lot of people tell me a lot in my inquiry form, but normally it's just through phone calls and like understanding who they are. And if I don't fully feel confident even before the session, then normally our like break might be before the session. So like maybe we'll meet up and grab a bite like before we start shooting. That way I can really feel who they are before we like start going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So you do a planning call with them then.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a people person. So people could do a questionnaire if talking to their clients. Yeah. Like, I know that's not everyone's cup of tea. You know what I mean?
Are you an extrovert?
I think I am. I mean, I definitely was as a kid. I was definitely an extrovert. And I only say think now because I feel like I have a little bit of social anxiety. So like, 4 or 5 years ago, I feel like I would have literally walked up to any stranger and just like started talking to them. Yeah. Me now, like crowds don't love them, but when it comes to like work and talking, it definitely comes a lot easier than for some, I feel like.
Okay. I'm like, wow, if you can go 6 hours, that is so amazing. Like that is a gift. And I think that you taking the time to do the planning call and then also whether that's like the break at some point, everything is crafted so strategically where you can really put all your energy and focus on the client and their experience the day of, which I think is amazing. Can you give us an example of a storytelling session?
Yeah. So I'll give you a couple because I feel like they all make sense in their own different ways. But recently, like a week ago, I did a really amazing session with a couple that lives out of LA and they wanted their first portion to be indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really want it to be like cute. I mean, that was just more who they were. They were like, we want something kind of edgy, you know, not that we don't want it to look like what we've seen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like a lot of people, I feel like, see something maybe edgy or more editorial looking and think that it's not cinematic or it's not romantic, but it's like, you know, you see things with still movement still that are still cinematic, you know, like Wes Anderson, things that where there's separation, but that doesn't mean it's not telling a greater story. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I always like to think of that and remind people of that, because you don't have to be romantic to be a storytelling photographer, you know? So we started at a studio in LA called the Honeymoon Inn. It's like, you know, kind of retro vintage LA kind of sets, kind of looks like music video sets almost. So it has like cigar lounge and like a vintage kitchen, you know, just like kind of fun, quirky things like that. We started there, brought in lights. I rented it for like 3 hours for the client, rented it for like 4 or 5 hours total. So I'd like have a grasp on it before they came in. And we started there, got that more like kind of edgy, like still not too, not crazy cute, nothing too romantic, because they didn't, it's not them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was super sweet. I mean, the sets were just awesome. I mean, super fun, kind of edgy, quirky. Yeah. And they were like, don't, we're not good at this, we're so awkward. And they were just like having a blast, they were killing it. And then from there, we met up with their dog and we went to downtown near Chinatown in LA.
Yeah.
Because he initially, when he first moved to LA, lived there. So they have all their favorite spots. So we ended up shooting like under like an archway of lanterns where like his first apartment was, which is super cute.
Oh my gosh.
And that was like the first place that she like would come visit him at. So that was super cute and sentimental. And it wasn't totally on purpose. He just like, we have room for these moments to happen. It wasn't totally like we're shooting there. It was just like we're walking around and he's like, I used to live right there. And I was like, he's like, can you take a photo of us here? I was like, of course. And we ended up like circling back to it when the lanterns were lit, when it was dark, which is super awesome. Mm-hmm. Went down to Chinatown and hung out there, shot there until we basically got told to leave. And then we went to a brewery together and literally just like had drinks and ate together. So we were together for like probably almost 5 hours. Yeah. And then we were probably together for like 6 or 7.
And do you feel like since you have, you don't really have a time limit on sessions that allows mm-hmm. you to be even more creative and experimental?
Yeah, I mean, so the best shots came literally after it was dark. And honestly, I was kind of worried. I was like, it's getting dark. Like the sun's setting here earlier than I expected. You know, the sunset is a lot different than the time in Seattle. Like, man, I don't know about this. And then when it got dark, dark was when we made our best photos. Like there's this shot where they're like separate, which they love. That's very them. And he's leaning against one like lamppost, like in Chinatown with like lanterns behind him. And then she's leaning against the other one. They're kind of like looking up into the lights. It's just so cute.
That's so magical.
I ended up telling her, I was like, can you just like spin towards him? And so it's just like him looking into the light post and like her spinning. I'm shooting it on like a point and shoot digital camera, like not even my good one, because it just like looks better on this like kind of bad camera on purpose. And it was just such a blast. Like literally our best photos happened when my ISO was at like 5,000. Like it was so good. Had it been like a 30 minute to a 1 hour, like we're getting our pics and then we're done, they would have not even had the like emotional space to let that happen, you know what I mean?
So do clients know when you are booking with them, you kind of tell them block the whole day essentially?
I actually tell most people like you have some self-care, like treat yourself, take the day off. I don't book weekends, so like you have to take the day off. And just like think of it like a little vacation, except for you'll be with me for like 6 hours. But
it's a date and you are
it's a date with them. And we're gonna be there. But yeah, I've had some couples like hit spa at like 6 a.m. because I tell them, I'm like, treat yourself, like make this a fun day, because one, you gotta love how you look, because with the best photographer in the world, if you don't love yourself, you're not gonna like the photos.
Yeah.
So like treat yourself before it, take the day off. The last thing you want is work stress. Like even if they could get off at like 3, I normally tell people like, just take it off. Don't do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so then they just come and they're just stoked. They're like, I've been chilling all day waiting for this to happen. We've taken the time off, or if it's say we're going to the coast, maybe they've rented an Airbnb, we can use the Airbnb or things like that. And I think it helps them like make it more of an experience for them. And I think with things like engagement photos too, it's like really, people love that. I honestly thought when I started these sessions, no one would want to do it. I'm like, that is so long. I don't even know if I would want to model for that long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the responses are crazy. People just have, they just have a blast. They're like, this is a ton of fun. We love the pics and they enjoy their time. And yeah, I mean, money aside, I don't mean this in like a money way, but like I'd not been tipped on like just normal engagement sessions. And then when I started these, people were just like, please take this like after the session. I'm like, wow, I'm glad you enjoyed that, because that was a lot for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so awesome. You're able to almost have it be more part of, it's like an extension of the wedding day. And on the wedding day, there's so many other moving parts that kind of the photos of the couple is like priority, right? But this is a time when it's truly just them. So
just about them. Yeah.
I think that's so brilliant.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by Contractista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. Contractista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts.
When you are doing these more remote locations, let's say you go somewhere that doesn't have cell service, what's the process like for planning how to meet up? Do you guys carpool there? Do you meet at a spot midway and then carpool? What is that kind of random logistical detail? Because when I see that you are on like the tippy top of Mount Everest, I'm like, how did they coordinate together?
You're like, what? You're like, how have they been together for 3 hours without losing each other? So I actually don't meet up anywhere that doesn't have cell service, because I get everywhere early and I would have anxiety that like, their tire popped. This is from experience. Like 5 years ago, I was down to just like meet people on the Oregon coast. Mm-hmm. Oregon coast has like no cell service. So one time I literally was waiting there just like, man, what is going on? It's been like an hour. The sun is about to set. I already drove out here and the client's tire popped. But neither of us had cell service. So neither of us could tell each other. So I don't do that. So if we might have an issue with cell service, I normally always suggest we meet at the closest town and then we follow each other to the location. But being with someone for this long is not easy. That's why we have breaks. So I don't ride with people, because I want to be able to, like, if we're changing location, just like breathe and like get ready for the next spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So most of the time we don't ride with people. There's been like one client where I did, we rode like an hour to the coast together, but we were definitely more like close friends. But definitely for me to take my best photos, I don't want to also be on with all the drives.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to like decompress. Another one of my like, honestly, like pretty common storytelling sessions, a lot of people want to go to the coast. So I'm like, man, how can we make this also be you, and also be the fact that like we're going to the Oregon coast, because everyone wants to go to the Oregon coast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like one of my couples, they were traveling nurses and they just loved going to like bars in all their new cities. So what we found was they stayed in an Airbnb in Astoria, like above a bar. So the guy that owned the Airbnb also owned the bar, and he was like shooting it. Like, I don't even care. Go use it. People will like welcome, my employees will welcome you, like nice and easy. So we started at their bar, and then the drive to the coast was an hour. So in that scenario, I would normally drive myself, because an hour in the car is a great break for everyone. That's like a wonderful, like, grab a snack or an energy drink, and then we drive to the next location.
Yeah.
It's a great time to just, like, rest. Whereas if it's in the same town or the same spot, maybe we would, like, rest together, maybe. But that's a wonderful time to literally take a break. We all drive separately. Even if we're both driving back through a story, we're not riding together, because all of us wouldn't enjoy that, especially if the client is a little, like, not extroverted. I feel like if I was a client, I would get overwhelmed.
Yeah. And also just the need to, like, keep talking and, like, keep up conversation. So it honestly helps the client experience, it sounds like, when you do, even though just it separate. Seems like it, like, at first, oh, should we all write together? It actually is smarter and more strategic to write separate for all those reasons. So
if you need to, like, last minute plan any shots, you can just, like, be on your phone and, like, it doesn't matter because the client's not, like, staring at you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Let's move into, like, inspiration and your own artistic vision. So when it comes to inspiration, how do you find inspiration offline? So outside of Pinterest, outside of Instagram.
I'm most inspired by, like, my own life. I think that sounds so strange.
When you inspire yourself?
Like, that probably sounds so weird. And I don't mean that in a conceited way at all. But just, like, I feel like some of the dates maybe even Jake and I go on, like, I've recreated a lot of people's favorite shoot of mine was when I was still someone, you know, you do free shoots sometimes just to, like, keep yourself fulfilled, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to show more of, like, even more of, like, what the storytelling sessions can look like. So I just asked a couple to do my favorite date, which was taking the ferry to Vashon and then farm stand hopping. And so this couple in Seattle, they lived near West Seattle. So we took it from West Seattle to Vashon because there's a ferry there. And people love, they're like, that ferry shoot, can we do that? I'm like, yes, you can. But that's just Jake and I's, like, favorite date because we live right next to the ferry in Tacoma and we love fresh food. So we just love, like, going over to Vashon with a little cooler and we just, like, run around to all the little stands. So when they are storytelling sessions, I feel like even the mundane things of just, like, literally just dates that you might do in your everyday life, like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, can make for a lot of people really cinematic and, like, meaningful photos. Like, one time a couple, they were like, we just bought a home and we just want you to shoot us, like, making dumplings. And I was like, amazing, I'm there, you know what I mean? But them seeing that kind of work, they were like, oh, we know that she would want to capture this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love
that. Yeah, I guess I deterred away from the, like, inspiration, but it was like, no, a lot of my favorite things I shoot is just from, like, kind of what we enjoy. Yeah.
I love that. Oh my gosh. So would you say that your photography style is reflected in your personal style, how you decorate your home? And if so, I see you're nodding your head. What came first, your personal style and clothes and interior, and then blend that into photography, or vice versa? For me personally, it was kind of, I always loved decorating my room with super colorful things, but my photography at the time, like 2016, 2017, was very muted and moody. And now it's more cohesive where my artistic vision reflects all the different areas of my life where I can create and decorate. So I'm so curious from you.
I feel like it definitely is maybe less how I decorate my space, even though I love decorating them. I just feel like now that I've been living with Jake for 2 years, it's harder when you have to take into another account another human. And I've changed so much in the last 3 to 5 years. I feel like most recently has been when I've been, like, finding myself, per se, some might say. So I feel like my style's kind of been evolving. I went through, like, you know, everything beige and white, kind of boho. Now we're in, like, we have pink counter stools and a green velvet bed frame, you know, so also kind of taking that evolution. But yeah, I love decorating my house. But outside of that, I do love fashion. For a while, I actually thought I might eventually leave wedding photography to start some sort of small fashion line. I have no idea if I want to do that now, but I used to run a little vintage shop. And I mean, clients, I've let clients borrow things. I've let clients buy things off me for shoots. I'm 100% very involved in styling because I do feel like the number one things that actually help make things cinematic is not just, like, them being cute, because that might not be your client. Your client might not want to be that way. That might not be who they are. It's lighting, styling, and, well, of course, like composition and like atmosphere, like where you are. And obviously, like, time of day plays a huge factor in that, you know. Is light going through windows? Can you have that like effect? Because I think lighting oftentimes is honestly like the number one thing people don't talk about as much, but it's like the number one factor that I think truly makes things like feel like a photo can feel with the right lighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that combined with outfits, like if you have this like sick moody lighting and then this like really, you know, maybe like maybe a really bright colored dress, it might not feel as romantic because that wouldn't work in that setting. And so thinking of it kind of like a creative director or stylist is on set, like they're taking this overall vision, they're making sure like every piece fits.
Yeah.
And so I guess I kind of take whatever vision we have with this couple and then try and help everything fit. So if people, I'm as involved with styling as people let me. They want me to be really involved, I actually will help them, and I will help them find things. If when I did run the little vintage shop, if they needed things or they wanted to borrow an outfit for the shoot, because a lot of people don't care, it's just engagement photos, they're like, yeah, let me just borrow something, you know.
Yeah.
I was always down to help. When we downsized places, I got rid of the vintage shop because it was just for fun, so got rid of most of that, so I don't have as much to offer people. But if anyone ever needs help, I'm always down. And a lot of times they'll send me like different links, especially the gals, they'll send like 20 links. They're like, what do you think of all of this? You know?
Yeah.
And I love it. I don't ever want to be like overbearing and feel like they can't be themselves. But I also like having a good bit of control in the fact that like we are kind of setting a scene. It's like if you have a little tiny movie clip. And so I tell people, think of this like you're in a little miniature indie movie film. But it's just you two, and there's no filming. It's just photos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that helps them get in the mindset of like, oh, yeah, like this is more than just photos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. And it's so fun. I love styling as well. And it's really fun to put together. And so do you kind of talk about that then on your planning call?
Yeah, I don't have any like crazy guide. I just tell them, you know, here's kind of things I would avoid. Here's things I love, you know, but also whatever you feel like is you two, will normally have like a little mood board. And I tell them, don't think of it as like poses. Think of it as like how you want it to feel. If you want to add like a red curtain because it makes you feel a certain way, like add it to the mood board. You know what I mean? I want it to be truly a mood board, not like a pitch deck or like, you know, there is like PowerPoint pitch decks where it'll be like, this is exactly what we want it to look like. I'm like, no, think more mood board. I want to know how you want it to feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in that, I feel like it helps me know maybe what direction they would need help in if they need help with styling. But I mean, at the end of it, I think when you make you a lot of your personal business and you make the focus yourself and not just your work, I think you attract a lot of people who are very like you.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they have amazing, they're already really great at styling because since I love fashion, a lot of times my clients also love fashion, which is really great and probably makes my job a little easier. But if that's something someone's into, oftentimes your clients will be into it too if you're showing a lot of yourself.
This podcast episode is brought to you by HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a client management program. You are able to have your client submit their inquiry form on your website and have this system automate the entire booking process. So once you get that client inquiry, they're popped at the top of your funnel and booked hands-free. So now instead of the cycle of responding to inquiries manually, answering the questions, following up with ghosted clients, you know the drill, this process should now take you 10 minutes because it is automated. So before we get back to the episode, let's talk about getting paid. Another feature I love is that you can set up a payment schedule with your clients and HoneyBook will automatically remind them that the payment is almost done and it will invoice them. I love that you can set up various payment schedules with your clients. You can break it down by percentage, exact amount, and HoneyBook will do all the math for you. It will automatically remind them when payments are due or about to be due, and it will invoice them. So there's no more back and forth for you trying to track down that final payment. you can head to jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook to snag a free trial with no credit card required to set up. And if you love it, you'll get 50% off your first year. That's jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook.
With your love for styling your subjects, and I know you also have a big love for antique wedding dresses and that you have a really interesting, amazing collection, and you had your reselling shop, could we talk about thrifting, antiquing, and how that can play into feeling inspired when planning creative photo shoots with family and friends? And I know we have that in common because I love to go antique shopping. Even if I don't buy anything, it's purely for inspiration, whether that's a photo shoot or for like graphics or whatever. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah. I mean, fun random fact, my first camera I bought was because of the little thrift resale shop. It's like I had it when I was like 18 and then it ended while I did photography, and then I brought it back, which is the version you know of. But yeah, that was actually like how I funded my first camera. It was like reselling clothes on Instagram before like Depop and all that was cool.
You were working it.
Bought a camera with it. Yeah, but I love thrift stores. I mean, I like go to them for fun. Like you said, you love antiquing. Like if I need a break from work, I might just like literally pop into a thrift store and then just like, you know, look around literally for nothing. I could be shopping for nothing and just go walk around.
What's a shoot that comes to mind where you bought something secondhand, like whether that was styling one of your dresses or even maybe you thrifted a mirror and you used it as a prop?
I did this shoot one time. I do a lot of self-portrait shoots outside of like my paid work. Mm-hmm. I do a lot, maybe not a lot of self-portraiture, but I feel like a good bit. Like I normally try and do it quarterly, which I feel like is a good bit for some. And oftentimes, obviously, I'm the one styling myself. Most recently, I didn't go to a thrift store because I didn't have time. I ended up renting clothes from like Rent the Runway. But I mean, I guess similar concept, you're still borrowing things. But one time I was at a store, antique store, saw this lampshade, and I was like, that lampshade's cool. Like maybe I could wear it in a shoot. And literally I wore like a vintage wedding dress in a lampshade. And that was a shoot that we did.
Was the lampshade like a hat?
It was on my head, yes.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It's just me as a lamp with a wedding dress on. That was a weird one. That was obviously inspired by that. I also styled an editorial for a content shoot once with vintage wedding pieces. Or I mean, I don't even know if I'd say they're technically wedding pieces, but it was, you know, still fit into like what I'm shooting. But it was three gals. We had like one vintage like Dior kind of nightgown thing.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And then amazing. One ruffledy like ruffle antique dress. And then they had like corsets or like interesting like necklaces or strange things. And I haven't actually done something super fashion in a while. So maybe this will inspire me to go do one of those things again because they're super fun. But definitely like they're more for fun than they were paid work. But I guess in the side note, it brought me a lot of clients who love that like kind of edgy, kind of vintage.
Yeah.
But still like in love getting married clients, which is cool.
As we wrap up, I have two questions left. So what's one thing you wish someone would have told you when you started to pivot your business into storytelling sessions that would have saved you time, money, or energy?
I wish people would have been more open to the fact that like you can charge more for longer sessions, even if it feels weird, because longer sessions just weren't, none of my friends were doing them. They were like, I don't want to shoot with anyone for more than like an hour. Like that's crazy that you would want to do that. And I was like, man, I just feel like there has to be more, because I always felt like at like 2.5 hours we were like, that was when it was getting good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wish someone had made me realize that, oh, well, like you could just charge more for it and then you could just take less work, which I feel like people will say a lot, you know, just charge more, take less, you know, you make the same amount, but you're doing technically less work. I'm probably doing less work because these cost three times as much as my old sessions. But the people that are doing them are like so much more invested. I mean, they're spending a lot more, so they are financially more invested. And they also like, they could have booked anyone, but at that price, like it's an active choice to book this longer session and like want to do something like that. So people are like emotionally more invested, financially more invested. they're more invested with their trust. So not only is it a better experience for me by like not trying to just like make magic with like 10 one-hour sessions, you know, I only have to do like 3 or 4 to make the same income and have clients not only be more invested, but I am too, because it is not sustainable to try and get to know, like, I wanted to always get to know those people that deeply, even with the 1 hour sessions, because I wanted it to mean a lot, but like, it's not in time ways like possible. Like, it was like I was almost doing as much work, I just wasn't able to be with them as long for like a third of the pay, and then just having to do so many sessions to like make a livable income. And that was like soul sucking. So I think if someone would have just told me like there's a market for long form sessions and that people actually want to do it, because I just like winged it. I feel like I was like, you know what, if no one books it, it's fine, we'll go back to normal engagement sessions, but let's see what happens. And when I got that dumpling couple who they just wanted me to take photos of them making dumplings, I was like, there's a market for this, it's here, people want this. So I think that was cool, just to realize like it's actually there. A lot of my mentorships, I like mentor people and they'll be like, no one's gonna want to do this, and I'm like, okay, but you only need 1/3 of the clients right now, because you can charge 3 times more because you're doing 3 times the work, but you don't need to shoot as often, you know. And so I just try and encourage people, like, it's worth trying, even if you live in a smaller town or you live somewhere where maybe there might not be as many clients, maybe just have one package where you can do that and see if you can get that clientele and just keep marketing only those kinds of shoots. And I think you'll be surprised that there's more people that actually do want that. They want something different. They want something more custom to them than just going to like the local park, you know?
Yeah, that's really good advice. It was, you were innovative and also you just tried something and you gave it your best effort too, and it worked.
Yeah, you'll never know if something doesn't work unless you test it.
This episode of the Build a Blue podcast is brought to you by a tool that's cut my photography workflow in half without cutting into half my software budget. Like most photographers, I use the blog feature on my website to upload galleries. Narrative is a software that you download onto your computer that cuts down the time it takes to build out blog posts from 1 hour to 10 minutes. Narrative works on almost all website platforms, Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, WordPress, the list goes on. There are so many bonus features to Narrative, including a Lightroom plugin, SEO integration, adding text in the blog post, cropping within the program, which means no more back and forth with Lightroom. Oh, and it also uploads all your images as individual files, so it's not one big collage, meaning that it's Pinterest friendly. I know what you're thinking, this seems like a miracle, but how much does it cost? With Narrative, there are 3 package options starting at just $6 a month. And heads up, right now the program is only available for iOS, meaning Mac users. Go to jessicawhitaker.co/blogtool. You can also check out the description of this podcast episode, the show notes down below. I'll link it as well. That's jessicawhitaker.co/blogtool.
My last question of the episode is, what should beginner photographers try out in their creative process? So this could be anything from, like we said, go to an antique store for inspiration, take a day trip to a location that they might want to shoot at, experimenting with a new artistic medium like painting or film photography. What would be your advice that any new beginner, or honestly, let's just say any photographer at whatever stage, should just try out in their creative process?
I feel like the best thing to try is the things you actually want to do. I think it might sound weird, but for a beginner or for someone experienced, like, a lot of people have what they actually want to do and they're just like, well, I just can't do that. I wouldn't make enough doing that, or like there wouldn't be a market for that. And I'm like, just try that. Like, I feel like that's always been how I've gotten the places and the people I've needed, or like the clients I've needed, or gotten to the places I've wanted to go. Like, I just put it out there. So for me, that looked like a lot of styled shoots, a lot of free shoots, a lot of things I styled myself so that I could kind of create this market that I attracted. And I mean, even when I first wanted to become a wedding photographer, I wanted to do elopements more than weddings. And so I just like, man, I threw whatever vintage wedding dress on anyone I could find. And we took them to a waterfall, mountain, field, literally anywhere, any iconic spot that people would elope, we went. And people started knowing, like, Summer is an elopement photographer. And that's just kind of in the trajectory of my career. Like, when I was doing a little more editorial stuff, I was just styling things for fun because I liked it. And I always knew, like, if I'm ever going to enjoy what I'm doing, I need to also be, like, still doing it because I enjoy it. So making sure I'm always doing things not just for money. And so for me, that looked like free shoots. For other people, it could be look like painting, or it could look like working out, or playing music, or it could be different art forms. It doesn't have to be photography, but always doing something that leaves you fulfilled, and always, like, just trying the things that you actually want to do. Like, say you're doing senior pictures, but you really would just love, like, to maybe do, like, creative solo portraiture. It's like, well, go do it and share it and let's see what happens. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds like almost like dumbly easy, but I think a lot of people are just held back by the fear of trying something different.
If it's something that you maybe don't try something completely new and then you feel like you flop at it, which everybody does when you're first starting, but that could almost be a little discouraging and, like, besides the point. So I love your advice for do something that you have already wanted to do and do it for fun. I love that.
Yeah. And, like, say maybe even that's like film photography, that's a popular one right now. And that's one, like, I feel like I've gotten back into in the last couple of years. But I felt like I was, well, then film photography infiltrated my business, which is a good issue. We want what we enjoy doing to also make us money. But then I was like, man, I am not, like, I'm not taking photos for fun as much as I would like to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I bought, like, a little digital point and shoot. I bought, like, the Fuji X100V because I was like, well, this I can keep in my purse. I don't care. It already has, like, 3 cracks in the last, like, 6 months. Mm-hmm. People probably hate that I said that because it's not a cheap camera, but, like,
but it, you're using it, and that's the point.
It's my daily camera because I need to stay excited, you know?
Yeah.
And especially in the wedding industry, like, I don't know what the actual stats are, but to me, it feels like the average wedding photography doesn't last more than 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, my feeling is that it becomes because, one, it's hard, you're working on most weekends, but two, like, you're working so often and you forget that you enjoy shooting, and, like, you don't prioritize, like, yourself or your own art or anything like that. Most of the time, those were self-portrait shoots for me. Like, I taught on social media one time at a workshop, and I was going through, like, doing work for yourself because that's the best way to show what you want to book.
Yeah.
And a lot of these were self-portraits that I put up on a screen, and it was like, that was when I was depressed here, that was when I went through this breakup. Like, somehow I just happened to take all my cool self-portraits in terrible times of my life, and I ended up almost, like, crying going through these with everyone. But at the same time, I'm like, man, like, those are some of my most proud photos, is these photos, like, of myself.
Yeah.
Most of the time also because it's harder to get a model than it is just take them of yourself, so I would just do them of myself too because it was easier to, like, really capture what I wanted. I didn't feel like I'd have to, like, do it with anyone else or, like, full control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you like self-portraits, you can do self-portraits. Yeah, that's a wonderful way, you know? I've always tried to challenge myself to keep creating for myself because at the point that you stop doing that, are your clients getting your best self? I don't know.
That is really beautiful. Summer, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can everybody find you online?
You can find me anywhere on social media at summergrace.photo. Maybe Pinterest, there's no period, but most places it's summergrace period photo. Outside of that, online, you can find me at summergracephoto.com. On there, you can find some things for photographers. So there's presets, there's a wedding guide, and that is more of a pricing guide if you do wedding photography or engagements or even just portrait shoots. Could be nice. Pre-branded, you can use Canva. Outside of that, there's a wait list for education. I was supposed to be having a filmed course coming out, but it's put on pause until next year. So if you want to join the wait list, feel free. But that's about everywhere that I can think of. Oh, I guess last note, I'm starting a podcast. So,
oh my gosh, come on now. Okay, have you released what it's called or not yet?
I'm sure everyone will find updates if they go check out the website whenever this releases, but I'm pretty sure it'll be called summer school. I have to go make sure that name is available because that was what my course was going to be called. So while the course is on pause, starting a podcast, it'll be kind of open interview, kind of like this. Some solo episodes, but it's not just wedding photography. I want to have like music industry people, my business consultant, lawyers, my accountant. I mean, any artist. I just want it to be a place for like creative entrepreneurs to learn, not just wedding photographers. So even though I'm mostly a wedding photographer, it'll be a space for kind of everyone. So I already have interviewed at least two people. One, we ended up talking a little bit about pricing in the wedding industry from a guy who is like an OG Instagrammer who turned photographer from his iPhone. And then another episode we've already filmed was on representation from one of my friends of color being in the wedding industry and not totally having her wedding photos even turn out with the right skin tones. So just kind of talking about that, and that'll kind of be what it looks like. So if you want to listen, hopefully it'll be out by the time you guys are listening to this
My gosh, summer, that is going to be so amazing. So,
I'm excited.
So awesome. Congratulations.
You'll have to come. We'll have an episode.
Oh my goodness, that'd be awesome. Huge congrats. I keep thinking, like, I wonder if Summer's gonna do like YouTube, a podcast, Patreon, something. And so hearing that you're doing a podcast is gonna be so awesome. And podcasting is just, I feel like if anyone wants to start any form of like YouTube or, you know, longer form content, podcast is perfect because you don't have to do your makeup. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you don't have to prep anything visually, which is really refreshing for photographers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love interviewing people. I think I want it to just be like this, like, community. Mm-hmm. Summer school. It'll be like a little.
I love that name. Yeah. That is so, like, you absolutely have to milk that name. You guys definitely check out, if you go to the description box below, you can get all the links, but then also summergrace.photo on social media. Thank you so much again, Summer, for being on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whittaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhittaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.